computer on. Okay, put your name and your about-to-be title on the tape.
I'm Tim Carroll, and I'm soon to be the artistic director of the Shaw Festival.
And you, when do you expect, I'm not recording yet, but when do you expect to actually be in Niagara-on-the-Lake?
The beginning of December.
You probably have a show to do between now and then.
I have two shows to do between now and then, in fact.
Oh, okay.
Three. One in Norway and one in London.
3, 2, 1. Tim Carroll, you have a long list of credits in the theater, but I believe this is the first time you've actually run the place.
Yes, that's right. It will be my first experience of running a building, and in this case, several.
And more, maybe more coming in the Capital campaign. What do you know about George Bernard Shaw?
Well, my mother is an Irish Protestant from Dublin, like Bernard Shaw, so I grew up knowing a lot about him and reading a lot of his plays. I've always wanted to get involved in doing his plays, but of course, as a freelance director, you tend to take the work that comes, and it's never been possible so far, so I'm really thrilled about that.
You've done Canadian theater work, obviously. You have worked extensively in what the people in Niagara-on-the-Lake call the other place.
Yes, the Death Star.
What Shaw play that you've read do you really want to do?
Well, now, the problem with answering that question, as you know, Mike, is that people are very busy trying to second-guess already which plays are going to be in my first season. So any play I mention is a huge hostage to fortune. I love lots of them, but at the moment I'm afraid I'm going to be discreet and not name them.
Because I've talked to, over the years, interviewed a number of actors at both places who've worked in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and they all have a list of the plays they'd like to do.
Yes, I'm discovering that already.
Oh, you've been solicited. I'd like to do Major Barbara, or I'd like to pull out of the back room, back to Methuselah, sort of thing.
Every person I've met here has a play they want me to read, and it's delightful to see that kind of enthusiasm.
Now, Jackie came in from somewhat similar background to what you're coming in from. Did she offer you any initial advice getting ready?
She's been amazingly supportive in every way, I must say, and I feel very blessed that I'm going to be working in tandem with her and learning the ropes from her. In fact, the most useful thing she said, which is not practical but spiritual, was just, you're really going to love this.
That's not bad advice in a profession where, with the vagaries of life, you have to love it.
Exactly, and it really did make me think, well, if she's been doing it for nigh on 15 years and still feels that good about it, then I've made a good decision.
You said you have two plays you're going to be directing before you come to Niagara-on-the-Lake. What are they?
First of all, I'm going to Norway to the National Theatre in Bergen, where I've done a couple of productions already, and I'm going to do A Christmas Carol, which will open in October and run up to Christmas. So although it would be strange to be doing A Christmas Carol in August, there is a sort of logic there. And then I go back to London to do the Christmas show at the Tricycle Theatre in London, which will be a four-person Ben Hur.
Actually, I read about that four-person Ben Hur. Do you need four horses, or how do you handle that? Is it going to be like War Horse?
I think it may be a sort of crappy version of War Horse. It's a very charming and funny script, and of course, because it's by the same author who wrote The 39 Steps, it's playing with the idea of a slightly useless theater troupe trying to put on Ben-Hur and finding it beyond them.
You've done an amazing array of plays. Is there an area of the theater that really attracts your attention?
Well, I'm known as a Shakespeare guy from my past CV, but I'm actually really open-minded about plays and periods. I love all sorts of plays from all sorts of different periods and for all sorts of different reasons, but I suppose the thing that has always been a common thread for me as the son of a poet is the quality of the writing.
You did a Romeo and Juliet at the other place. When was that?
That was 2 years ago, 2013.
Okay, I saw that production, and one of the things I remember is reviewing a production or a performance with a large number of students, and students were behaving the way students do, And as the play started to unfold, they just kept getting quieter and quieter, and finally you get well into the performance and there's this dead silence from these hundreds and hundreds of kids in the audience.
Well, that's a nice story. Lovely to hear. Well, I love young audiences, and I really hope we can attract that kind of audience here as well, because I absolutely don't subscribe to the view that, you know, the kids today got no respect or any of that. I think the kids today are bloody marvelous, actually, and I really want to put on great theatre for them because I think they get it.
What put you into theatre?
That's a good question. I really did get into theatre through Shakespeare. That's, I suppose, why I've always been known as a Shakespeare guy. I saw a series on television by John Barton of the Royal Shakespeare Company called Playing Shakespeare, and it was all about how to use the verse and the form of the language to make the emotional truth of the plays come out. And that really struck me, and I was very struck by how much fun it looked to be the guy trying to bring the best work out of the actors. So when I got to university, instead of studying Greek and Latin as I was meant to be, I spent most of my time directing plays.
One of the differences that is mentioned frequently between Shakespeare and Shaw is, among other things, that Shaw is much more modern, clearly, but a great many more roles for women and women's views, because Shaw believed in this stuff. Do you, in the views of the modern woman of his age, does this affect the plays you do after Shaw's period of production?
Well, it has to affect it, and I think it's one of the things that Shaw should be credited for, is that his plays affected it. You know, that Shaw himself affected people's views about women and affected the way people wrote theatre for women and about women. So he had an extraordinary impact, which I think we're still feeling. And, I mean, the great thing about Shaw, as you know, is that he had an extraordinary ability to remove himself from the cultural prejudices of his time and just look at a question simply and say, well, hang on, what evidence is there really that women are more X or less Y than men? And with his clear vision, he just said, I'm not sure there's any evidence at all. And so he wrote in the most wonderfully clear and even-handed way. And I think that influenced some, although probably not enough, playwrights since him.
You mentioned earlier you don't want to preview what plays you might stage, but as a director and as a working person in the theater, do you read a lot of plays?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And it's a kind of strange thing, reading a play, because you have to put so much energy into starting it to try and work out who's who from the page and so on. And then an hour later, you've finished it. So it's always rather a hard thing to get down to, and then as soon as you start, you become completely gripped. But yes, I've always been someone who had to read a lot of plays, as I think all directors do.
When Christopher Newton was running the place, he exhumed writers that had just been forgotten, Harley Granville Barker, for example. Jackie has done the same thing with a couple of writers and done more French-Canadian writers. Do you see that as an opportunity for you, neglected writers? Again, you don't have to mention any names, but or an area of theater that just has not been given its due?
I think it's a really beautiful thing as part of the Shaw tradition, this resurrection and rescue of playwrights like St. John Hankin and Rodney Hackland, and as you say, Granville Barker, who really are languishing in obscurity that is very undeserved. You know, the way the canon forms and elevates two or three plays from each decade so far above every other that it gives a very false idea of what was really being written in that time. So I think it is a really good opportunity, and it's already clear to me that lots and lots of people here have a lost 1930s or 1890s play that they want me to look at. And indeed, one of the ones that I did want to look at, in fact, the only play I should probably safely name, is Engaged by W.S. Gilbert, which in fact is going to be in Jackie's last season. And I was cursing her when she told me, because that was going to be in my first season.
Well, you can ask her to direct it.
I wanted to do it.
No, but I mean, you can ask. You can say you'd like to direct it.
Oh no, I'm not going to do anything next season. I'm not going to do that play because she'd already got a director for it. But also, I really want next season just to be busy planning my first season and learning as much as I can from all the people who already know how it works here.
You're doing the show in Norway. Are there writers that do not get performed very often in English because there are no good translations?
Yes, I think it's a big problem for any non-English play. Not only that there are not good translations, but that even good translations date terribly quickly. So in the case of someone like Chekhov, it's okay because he's so popular that people retranslate and freshen up his plays all the time. But if you read a translation of Chekhov from the 40s or 50s, it feels very stilted now. So I think a lot of great foreign plays suffer from the fact that the translations one reads just feel very out of date.
By the time you get to Bergen and the word has spread about your upcoming new job, do you expect to have some Norwegian writers coming to you and saying, you know, I think this play would be ideal for you?
I've already had that. Even before I had this job, I had pretty much everyone in Norway saying, now here's a writer that you've probably never heard of, but you should definitely be the first person to do him in the English-speaking world. So I have a little pile of plays waiting for me already, which I'm sure you're right, will only grow now.
The Shaw Festival over the years has done a lot of musicals, big stage, small stage. In the old days in the Royal George, there was only room for one set and two guys on pianos. What's your background in musicals?
My musical background is more in opera than in classic show musicals. I've only ever done one musical, and that was at a drama school. I did a little Night Music by Sondheim. And I had a great time with it, actually, and it was very much the kind of musical that I would be interested in doing here. Of course, they've already done Little Night Music here, so I won't be doing it, but the connection between Shaw and Sondheim is the sort of thing that strikes me as very felicitous and productive, because his work is wonderful and stirring and musical, but also intellectual and challenging. And I think the Shaw has a responsibility not just to do lollipops, but to make sure that across the range of the work, everything has the highest literary quality.
Of course, you're coming into a theater situation where those lollipops balance the budget.
Well, I don't know if they do, really, and I don't think you can allow that to drive your thinking. I think the great thing about the Shaw, and from getting to know Jackie, I can say this with absolute confidence, is that she's never just said, oh, well, this piece is no good, but we need to make money, so we'll put it on. She has only ever put on pieces that she really believes in, and I'll do the same.
You're in a situation where the people on the management side are going to come to you and say, you know, this is a great Shaw play, but the last three times we did it, it only sold 40% of tickets. You're going to have to do a more collaborative process toward deciding what you stage.
Yes, but, you know, the fact that I haven't been artistic director of a big company before doesn't mean that I haven't had to take on board practical and budgetary considerations. You know, I've done a lot of commercial theater, and I've been an associate director at a theatre and privy to all those conversations. So I know how it goes, and I know that we all have to be grown-ups about it and balance the need to keep the place running with the desire to do exciting work.
Thank you, Tim Carroll.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Okay, I think it's going to be interesting. And I've been there for the last transition. So anyway, look, thank you very much for calling, and we will meet at some point after you show up.
Yes, I look forward to it.
Okay, thanks again.
Great. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.